Hey guys, this is Greg with the Grindline Podcast, and I'm here to talk to you about DraftKings. With mobile betting now live in Michigan, it has never been easier to get in on the action and make those games mean just a little bit more. All you have to do is set your lineup, sit back, and watch your games. It's that simple. DraftKings has paid out over $7 billion, that's billion with a B, to users across all sports. So work on filling that wallet today with DraftKings. Download the DraftKings app and sign up using code THPN. New users will get a free entry with their first deposit. That's code THPN to get a free entry with your first deposit. Only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Good evening, everybody. We have a great show tonight, mostly because we have a special guest. So joining Ryan and I tonight is Twitter legend, Red Wings meme queen, now co-host of the 200 Foot Pod and contributor for Winging It in Motown. We have Sarah. Sarah, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing very well. That was quite the intro. It makes me feel very qualified. Like I should have that on my resume.
That should be just be your resume.
That should be your header, to be honest.
Oh, you just got to add Nobel Prize to the list.
Yeah, almost there. I'm creating peace through, you know, Red Wings memes.
Yeah.
And Tigers.
As depressing as they are now. Yeah, you're like friends with the Tigers social media people now.
Yeah.
Pretty sure she is. We just don't know yet.
You think I'm the social media person? I'm friends with myself.
I mean, have we seen the Tigers social media person and you in the same room? I don't think we have.
The Tigers Twitter account is a Sarah burner, is what it is.
Exactly.
But we have a couple things to talk to Sarah about tonight. Most notably, the 8th annual Detroit Red Wings Awards, probably the highlight of the past at least 5 seasons because the Red Wings are so bad. This is the highlight of the year when you get to vote on what are more importantly, I guess, more important than the NHL awards because the NHL awards suck and are boring. These are fun and a creative and give you the chance to kind of speak your inner fan in vote form. It makes you feel kind of accomplished. But I think we're going to have Sarah just kind of go over maybe if you had any themes in mind when you were coming up with them, kind of some of the new awards. And then, of course, we have sponsored awards as usual.
Before that, real quick, I think do you want to give a shout out to your Twitter handle? Because I think I'm not sure if Greg mentioned it, just in case those out there in the Twitter sphere don't know your actual first name.
Yes. So I am at Helmeroids. That is me. And if you didn't know, Helmeroids is a real person and her name is Sarah.
There we go. Sorry. I wanted to clear that. So everyone was like, who the hell is Sarah?
Thanks, Ryan. Everyone should know who Sarah is.
They should.
But we, you know how things go sometimes.
Yeah.
Like how you were asking if I was ready. And I asked you about 5 different times before this happened. So
yeah. And next time I'm not even going to ask you if you're ready. I'm just going to start going and you'll figure it out.
Yeah. All right. Anyways, carry on. Sorry.
Yeah. But did you have anything going into this that was maybe different from previous years or just the same? I have to figure this out. Let's do it.
Yeah. Well, first of all, you described it very well about why they exist, which is the NHL awards are boring and stupid.
They're terrible.
And the Red Wings don't win all of them. So that's that's how it all started. I feel like the past 2 or 3 seasons, it's been very like at first being like, oh God, I got to do this again. And then I remember it's really fun. I just have to like, it's kind of like watching a game. You have to like talk yourself into it and hope it's going to be fun. But this is fun. This year's pretty much the same as last year in terms of kind of the general motivation and the number of awards. Although on the ballot, there's only 17 awards because 2 awards do not require voting because they are based on facts, not opinions. So that's different. I've never done like a fact-based award before.
You don't get a vote. This is how it is.
I've never done anything that's not like feelings-based. So that'll be different. I have not revealed what they are, and I will not be doing that because then you could just look them up. And that will not be fun. But yeah, I've got a couple of awards that are new, a couple that are from last year, from previous years, and a couple that have survived since year one. I don't ever, you know, I always want to have at least 1 or 2 awards that have been there the whole time to have some consistency.
There was a notable omission for me this year.
Oh,
was the Pylon Award?
The Traitor Award.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Wasn't that retired after last season?
That was retired after last season, because Marian Hossa kept winning.
As he should. That was the reason for the award.
I had thought about renaming it the Marian Hossa Award and then saying he's not eligible. Like he's the king of traitors. But then I wanted to do different ones, and I kind of had these, you know, quote unquote sponsored awards. And I added two more. I had three last year. I added two more this year. So that kind of, you could have sponsored it. You could have said you wanted the Traitor Award. So you'll have to keep that in mind.
Well, I didn't know that it wasn't going to be part of the awards.
Yeah, that's true.
I had no insider knowledge.
I thought she told us last year that she was going to retire that one.
She may have, and I may have.
Or maybe not last year. Well, it's been, I think, did we talk about this last year? Or was it 2 years ago?
No. I think we did 2 years ago.
It was 2 years ago.
Did I have it last year? I may have already retired it last year. Don't remember.
Last year was the first year that we did an award, and we have another award this year, which I think is phenomenal. Yes. That I came up with a pretty nice graphic for, and now I have to make nameplates and heads for it.
It's a really good graphic, everybody.
I think it's the best 15-minute Photoshop job I've ever done in my life. But I think we'll go through them award by award, and I have there are some standouts for me. And the first award's the Bingo Bango Award, which is the Mickey Redmond tribute. There were a lot of choices. You gave quite a few possibilities for these.
Well, that was the problem it was supposed to be 12, but then I accidentally messaged the wrong person. So it was a 13-person nomination committee. There was two Caitlins. I know two Caitlins, and I picked.
Are they spelled the same?
Yes.
That's weird.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, all right, we're going to just have both Caitlins in here. And everybody, like, I asked this year, I guess I did a little different because I asked for, instead of one nomination, I let everybody do like three, sometimes four, just so it wouldn't all be the same one, because I really didn't want to have to pick any. I revealed to you guys 2 years ago that I had occasionally had to make a pick, and I really didn't want to do that this year. So, but the problem was then everybody, especially for the Bingo Bango Award, had completely different ones, and it's hard to remember good goals. I have to think about, this is the one I really need to think about for next year, and if there's a better way to do it, because I didn't remember any goals, so I really needed help with this one, because even I didn't. I was like, we had only one anyone remembers, which is why I included videos on the ballot so people could catch up.
Yeah, thank you for that.
So I have a remedy for this whole goal situation. Whenever a good goal happens, just put a sticky note on your laptop and write the time and date and put good goal next to it. And then we can just track them all at the end of the year and pick the best one.
Just do Bingo Bango and the date. And I think that solves it. That can be that moving forward. There you go.
Yes. But the nominees for this award this year are the Verona Backhand Beauty versus the Canes, which that's my winner. That is the best goal I've seen all season. I don't think anything tops that. You have Fabry's drop pass from Larkin, which that was a good one. Ernie makes the Preds look like pylons. Any Adam Ernie goal needs to be up for best goal of the year.
That was the reminiscence to Datsyuk against also the Preds.
Yeah.
And that was hilarious to see those comparisons.
Adam Ernie channeled his inner Datsyuk. Svetch's snipe against Columbus, Verona out of the box for his first goal against Chicago, Larkin, Zadina, and Fabry, the Dream Team, and LGD backhand special versus the Preds. But I have to go with Verona backhand. That is one of the best goals I've seen for the Red Wings in a while.
I'm trying to remember who I picked. I want to say that Fabry goal, just because that ended up being a steal and then tic-tac-toe. And I think that was what I ended up choosing, because it went from Zadina in the middle of the ice, got it down below the circle to Larkin, who immediately fired it across the ice along the goal line there to Fabry to slam it home and beat Columbus there. So I think that's what I chose.
We have so few like pretty goals that are, you know, not like an individual effort. I was I was glad someone had mentioned that and that I got to experience it again. I'm like, we are capable of past shoot. Just, it's extremely rare.
Look, there it is. There's the talent.
All,
look.
Then they're all injured anyway. So it's like, all right. I was like, oh yeah, they're all like injured now.
Yeah, I think, but I think Verana.
Just nice to think about.
I hope Verana runs away with this one because that was, I mean, like you said, it's rare for us to see really good goals. And that was a really good goal.
Yeah, I felt kind of bad having Verana on there twice, but I couldn't deny either of those goals. So I was like, all right, there was, and those, I think every single goal he scored was nominated by someone. I was like, no, I have to limit this. I need to. And I was glad people voted something for Adam Ernie because I couldn't remember any of his goals, but he deserved it. He deserved to be on the ballot.
Well, yeah, he's had more goals than he's had in his entire career, basically. So he needed something. Throw him a bone, Adam Ernie. He'll likely be on the team again next year. So maybe he'll be nominated again next year for another award. Neither am I. I mean, you want a fourth line player that can actually or third or fourth line player that can actually contribute offensively. Adam Ernie's probably your guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, better than another year of Valtteri Filppula. So so the next award on the list is the Hot and Ready Award for Heart, Hustle and Grit. And this year, I think it's gotten tougher, Sarah. In previous years, there had not been many that I think could have stolen this award from Luke Glendening.
Yeah, if Tyler Bertuzzi had been healthy,
yeah,
I think that would have made this, you know, a lot, maybe an easier decision for voters. So I was almost glad he wasn't on the ballot. I really thought everybody would nominate him again, but they didn't. So I think that makes it, you know, a better award even, just because it'll be not 8,000 votes and versus like 2 votes for everybody else.
Are you saying you took out Tyler Bertuzzi so that he couldn't be part of this award?
No, I'm saying the nomination committee.
He had back surgery, Sarah.
I'd say the nomination committee took him out. And then I was really surprised because I was prepared to put him leave him on the ballot because I copied it over from last year.
No, when I said took it out, I meant you were the cause of his injury.
Oh,
oh wow, that got dark.
I'm 5'3". I'm 5'3" and very weak. I don't know how I would have. I guess I don't know. I could have like Tonya Harding it.
Exactly. Guess, if it could happen at the Joe, it can happen at LCA. The Hot and Ready Award is for Heart, Hustle and Grit, and the nominees.
I think I went against the grain.
Yeah, the nominees were Jonathan Bernier, Adam Ernie, Luke Glendening, Giovanni Smith, and Troy Stetcher. And this year, I think I actually voted for Giovanni Smith.
Did you? Really?
I think I did, because Smith, I think, is the heir to the Luke Glendening throne.
I'd buy that.
As far as the toughness and battle goes. But Smith, I think, is more scrappy than Glendening, but has that same kind of, I don't know, you would call it moxie to his game, where he's just
fancy.
He gets in the corners and he doesn't mind mucking it up and grinding to get not so much of a goal, but to get puck control. Yeah. And he's good at battler and he's not afraid to throw down and beat people up. So I would say Giovanni Smith.
I think I would have went the same route had he been here the entire year. I think I ended up still going with Glendening, but my number two or close to it, or I may have actually voted for him. I can't actually remember. It was like a week ago. It might have been Troy Stetcher.
Yeah, Stetcher's been real good.
And if it wasn't for Stetcher's injury stint, I think he would have been the hands down winner this season. Even though Glendening's the easy one to go with here, I think Stetch is going to give him a run for his money.
But it's also hard to leave out Jonathan Bernier. Like, Bernier's been insane.
Huh. So it's like this is a good award almost.
That's why I said this year's become very competitive.
Because you could say the same thing about Ernie for everything that he provided. He started out slow and then just exploded out of nowhere with his season, leading the team at 1 point in goals. I mean, granted, Mantha was traded, so that kind of helped that point, but regardless.
I will tell you, there is currently a tie for first place in this award.
And how close is second place?
It is close. It is 4% difference.
Wow.
So
how many votes are on there?
Yeah,
right now?
How's turnout so
far?
I'm
curious so far.
So we are at 697.
Okay.
Votes. Beautiful. There we go.
That's good. What do you remember what you ended up with last year?
last year was a little not as great. It was like 400, but the year before was like 1200. I think that was the first year that I like, because I had like,
so we got some work to
winging do. It Motown involved a little bit more. So it's like, let me get some free publicity here.
So we could go one of two
and
ways.
You guys, so that helped.
We need to get Max involved.
I could post it on the Facebook group that has over 10,000 people in it.
Do that.
But yeah, if you want votes, you can get votes from there.
But I'm pretty pleased already with the turnout. And there's still a week.
Yeah,
a week
there's
to go
still
before
quite a
I
bit.
Have to start making them. But I love that a lot of the awards are actually really close. So votes still definitely make a difference. Everybody just.
Yeah. Yeah, we normally tweet it out a few times to
your vote matters.
That's why you created the sticker. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's what's different
that
from
was
last
very
year.
Good.
I made an I voted sticker, so everyone could feel
it's
really
beautiful.
Validated.
So the next award is the Jason Williams Award for the most forgettable player, and that hurts a little bit because come on, Jason Williams.
This is like my favorite award, though, because it's been here the whole time. And I always use the same picture for the award. It makes me laugh every single time.
So the nominees for Jason Williams Award, Alex Biega, Matthias Broma, Christian Juice, Taro Hirose, and Calvin Pickard. I want to say most forgotten by the Red Wings is probably Matthias Broma after him getting in the games at the beginning of the season and then just dropped off the face of the planet.
That's such a bummer, too.
I think I said Alex Biega because he was always on the roster, but never on the ice. So
yeah, thanks for showing up, bud.
Or he was on the ice and you just didn't notice.
Yeah, I think he got and was he in?
He's been in the games. But that's that's the whole point.
Define
of the
in.
He's been playing.
He has physically been on the ice.
Okay. But
on
like,
purpose.
not just got lost.
This was intentional. This wasn't a fluke. He wasn't out there for warmups.
Oh yeah, I think that was my winner was Alex Biega.
Yeah, I'd have to agree there. It's disappointing because he's a damn hard worker. And every time he's on the ice, like he's doing something seemingly positive. I said that. Really odd, but
he sure is doing something.
But he's fitting his role quite well, and he's also younger than me.
Being forgettable is kind of a compliment on a really bad team
for defensemen,
and for a defender on a bad team.
Yes,
yeah. So congratulations, also Christian Juice for being just good enough. I personally don't ever forget Christian Juice but that's because I'm biased because I was a Hershey fan for the AHL.
Okay,
from growing up nearby, so I remember him from that and being excited. I don't know who I'd vote for. And I every year I'm like this. Well, not every year, but I'm like, this is the year of Taro Hirose. I feel like he's taking the crown of this is the year of Danny DeKeyser for me. But right? I always have like one player that I like champion. And I'm so sure that this is their year. And I'm always wrong.
Now,
so
see, I would have said Taro Hirose, too. But I also follow the Griffins on Twitter and Taro Hirose is all over the place. He's player of the week for the Griffins this week with 7 points in like 7 games. Yeah, Hirose, he'd be forgettable if you didn't follow Grand Rapids.
So that will reveal people who voted for him. You're being called out now.
Here's a random comment. Was Juice, is he hurt? Because he hasn't played since April 10th.
No, I think he's been a scratch.
He's just been a scratch, huh? Because Biega, when he left, so he's been out. And since he left the lineup, Biega's been in for him.
April 10th. Let me check Roto, but I don't think so. I don't recall anything with Juice.
I didn't see it.
Because I feel like they'll be like, oh, we only have 6 defensemen. I'm like, well, you don't. You just don't want to play any of the ones that you do have.
Yeah, no,
we hammers
more.
Home the most forgettable award here because I didn't even realize he hadn't been playing.
Yeah, no, Juice has been out for quite some time. And
a month? He's been gone for a month.
Yeah, I can't find any injury report on Christian Juice whatsoever. So
just his pride.
Yeah. When you but, even but when
he
you search,
scored the goal that broke the power play drought.
He did.
It's not a complete loss.
But to his discredit, when you search on Google Roto Juice injury, Brooks Orpik comes up. So that doesn't help you whatsoever.
How does that even happen?
Good question.
Did he injure him?
No.
At some point in the past.
Brooks Orpik's very retired. I don't see anything on here where it mentions Christian Juice. It's just they both played for Washington, and there's your connection. But yeah,
6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna say Alex Biega because even when he's there, not really. So the next award, which is good. And kind of sad now that Athanasiou is gone, which is the actually no. Now that Athanasiou is gone, it makes it more even.
There's actually competition now.
That's exactly why it's there. This is like an answer once and for all, and then it will probably be off for a couple years or so until we get some new brows on the team.
Now I say the highbrow award for best eyebrows is between Robbie Fabry, Valtteri Filppula, Joe Valeno, Jacob Verana, and Philip Zadina, and I will venture to guess that currently Joe Valeno is winning.
I gotta say that was my vote.
It was also my vote.
Interesting. No, I'm not revealing anything. Oh, Jesus. It's close. It's close. It's a close
one. We tried.
I feel like we almost got her.
Yeah.
Close. It's close.
I figured with Athanasiou gone that this would be closer. Because I assume he ran away with it when it previously.
Yeah, I don't remember. I think it was like him and Fabry were kind of close, but not as close as I expected. I think it was pretty solid, and that's why I was like, well, let me bring it back and see who's got the crown. Because if Athanasiou was still here, I'd be like, no, yeah. Why bother?
Yeah, the only thing these pictures made me notice is Jacob Verana has one heck of a forehead.
Yeah, that's not a flattering picture.
It's no, that is a very unflattering
picture. Kind of looks like that's where he looks like Loki.
Yeah, that's the picture that's, I used where I put picture. The Loki helmet on him.
Uh-huh. He has an odd shaped head. He really needs Mastermind. Angles to
Megamind.
Megamind. There we go. Mastermind. Yeah,
you ever see that movie Megamind where is it? Yes. Will Ferrell voices a blue guy. That's kind of what Verana looks like in this picture. But yeah, I'm gonna say Joe Valeno. He has taken over the Athanasiou throne of eyebrows, also the cult of Valeno, so you can't vote against him.
It's true.
Otherwise, yeah, bad things happen to you.
If he starts running away with it, I'll know that Habs Twitter found out.
Oh, God.
They are obsessed with Joe Valeno. So the next award is the three-leaf clover award. Jesus Christ, I can't talk.
Yeah,
the three-leaf clover award for worst luck. And Jonathan Bernier, which I'm assuming is from his injury stint or having to play in front of such a god awful team for the first part of the season.
For me, it's for his life, for just having to deal with this team.
Just becoming such a good goalie, but having what he has in front of him. Tyler Bertuzzi for mystery injury that resulted in back surgery. Matthias Broma for being cast aside as a redheaded stepchild. Thomas Greiss, who actually has turned it around quite a bit and become very good.
They both have top 20. Is that what it was? Max tweeted out that him and Bernier are both in the top 25 for is it goals against or save percentage or something?
I believe it's goals against. You've got Michael Rasmussen, who again has become very good. Good for what he is, very good. And then you've got Philip Zadina, who just couldn't buy himself a goal. No one was passing him the puck. Very frequently they'd put the camera on him and he'd look extremely disgruntled.
So upset.
Either an angry F word, and when he scores, it's a happy F word. So one of the two. I have several a gif of just Zadina saying the F word. But I think for this one, I voted for Bertuzzi because we still don't know what happened to him. All we know is it resulted in a back surgery in New York.
Yeah, I had the same vote there. And it's because of the injuries and the fact that he can't catch a break. Not no pun intended there, but.
He apparently caught
this
something.
Year, last year. I want to know what it is because it worries me. Because does he have the DeKeyser issue? Does he have the Zetterberg issue? what is it? Because is he going to be, he's younger. Yes. The recovery is likely there.
Yeah.
But what's the long term going to be?
Well, the thing,
so that,
the
thing scares, I took away from it, for this one,
the thing I took away from it is that they said he will be ready for the start of next season.
Which, they always say that,
which will be, yeah. But if they're not lying, that's October. And if you're recovering from a back surgery that quickly, you got to kind of assume that it's not that bad, but it kept him out for a majority of the season. So it's got to kind of be bad, right?
Yeah, and then it'll be like the first game back, he'll get thrown to the ice and he'll be like, oh God.
His
like,
back will explode into a million pieces.
Because like, that's what happened to DeKaiser. He was getting like knocked over and just like, oh, he just got back.
Yeah, well, DeKaiser's basically a geriatric now.
No,
and I say that him being like, what, 33 or 35?
Yeah, 30.
So brave. Such an elderly man and playing professional sports at the age of 35. But yeah, I would assume that Bertuzzi should win this simply because he was doing so well.
DeKaiser's only 31, by the way.
Is he really? Oh, Lord, yeah. He's the same age as me.
He turned 31 in March.
Oh, no. Then what is my life going to be? I planted a garden and my back hurts. He's playing hockey. He got surgery. It's all downhill from here. I might as well give up. Oh,
I'll tell you.
But yeah, Bertuzzi, I think it's partly because he started off where he ended last year. He started off really, really well. And we thought this was going to be another amazing season for him. And then again, like he got the Tanya Harding, like Sarah said, and he's gone for the whole season.
Yeah, we thought that top line magic was coming back and then no, and it's gone.
Yeah, and I guess we'll see.
I wanted us to get a good draft pick, and I did what everyone else was too afraid to do.
Twice.
You sacrificed for us.
But yeah, I think that next year he'll pick it back up. It's bad luck this year. So the next award is the Tablescaping Award for the best playmaker. The title, Sarah, the Tablescaping Award.
Well, it's okay. So I was watching Bob's Burger. This is like 2 or 3 years old, I think.
As one does.
Maybe more, but there's an episode where Gene is like at a tablescaping competition where you literally set a table with like a theme.
I remember magic. That episode.
Yeah.
It is hilarious.
So that's where the name came from.
For the best playmaker. So tablescaping, the best setup guy.
The table. Yeah.
Very clever. Your nominees are Philip Hronek, Dylan Larkin, Michael Rasmussen, Bobby Ryan, and Philip Zadina. And this is the first time I think I've struggled with playmakers because normally I say Larkin, 10 out of 10 times would be Larkin.
But, it's an easy one to fall back on.
But Zadina has been a phenomenal playmaker. And a lot better than I think we thought. We knew he'd be a goal scorer. I don't think we thought he could be the kind of setup guy that he has been this season. And I think I voted for Zadina this year simply because Larkin's kind of been a little out of it.
Yeah, this one was tough for me because it's hard to go against Hronek because of the year he had. I think he's still easily leading the team in assists, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
But Rasmussen, we saw big changes from him. Larkin, as you said, he's the easy one to kind of go on if you don't really feel like taking a thought about it. But I went with Bobby Ryan here because the impact he was making, especially early on with Zadina and Fabry, that line was really unstoppable for a short time. And then until the injuries came, but when he was out there, I thought the plays that he was able to set up and create, whether it be shooting or passing, were some of the best on the team.
Okay.
I'm glad you said that. Cause like when I got the nominees for this, I was like trying to remember, you know, I was like, wait, who is a good playmaker on this team? Cause it's easy to remember, you know, the bad stuff.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, I'm trusting people that these are the playmakers. So I'm glad you felt like you could justify all the choices. That makes me feel good about the committee and how well they did. because I did that not stack this good. Ballot. I did not stack the ballot. Not
the,
this
the
time.
The Raz one's tough for me, though.
Well, Rasmussen recently has been better, and Rasmussen has had some really good throwing it in front from behind the net, stuff like that, or standing in coming in off
taking up the aggressiveness factor, like the only goal there.
Yep. Yeah, so I could see Rasmussen too. I don't disagree with really any of these for playmakers, but I have to go with Zadina this season simply because he's really, really started to find his game and what he's good at. And it's looking more like a complete game than a lot of us would have thought. So I went Zadina, and I could see this one also being kind of close.
And it is.
Yeah.
And I'm not lying. I could be just totally lying about all of these. You wouldn't
and know. It is. It's close. It's they're close. All close.
Yeah, you sound good, though.
So the next award is the fifth gear award for most clutch player. And the nominees, only four, Bernier, Fabry, Larkin, and Zadina. And this one, I almost had a hard time with because I would have put Adam Ernie on here. I would have put Ernie on here, and I may, depending on how late voting was, may have put Verana on here. But I think I went with Bernier simply because he's been so much better of a goalie than he had ever previously been, which kind of scares me going into
and
the
for
off season.
No reason. For
exactly.
No reason whatsoever.
Yep. He just hated Colorado and Toronto and everywhere else that he was ever a goalie. He hated them and only wanted to play here. But Bernier is just, and it scares me going into the off season because we need a goalie and he's going to cost money. But I'm going to say I voted for Bernier because he has kept them in games that they had no business being in.
Yeah, I can't fight that one at all. It's that's a no-brainer. If it's anyone but Bernier, I'd be very surprised, to be quite honest. If this one's actually close, I'll be surprised. Because if
it's
with
it's
what
close.
Bernier's
it's close.
Is it really?
for second place.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I guess I don't know why I'm saying like a surprise. Is it really? Like, I know who's actually in first. But
I'm just
you
trying
could
to show
also...
that I'm telling the truth here.
And I'd gotta say second place is probably between Larkin and Fabry because Zadina, though looking really, really good, he's not being given, I think, a lot of the chances that he should get. So, it's got to be Bernier. Right, Ryan?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you have
hard
to wait.
Hard to go against it. Oh, whatever.
Sarah, I'm not expecting any answers from you.
Kind of am, but maybe not.
So the next award is one of my favorites because I run into it literally every day. I argue with these people because they're real dumb. The Torch and Pitchfork Award for Team Scapegoat. Jeff Blashill, Thomas Greiss, Darren Helm, Anthony Mantha, and Mark Stahl. So man. for most of the
season.
See,
this seems to be broken up between like parts of the season.
Sure. I don't think Stahl was ever a scapegoat. I think Stahl was genuinely bad for a bit. I think he was just, we looked at it and we're like, oh my God, Mark Stahl. And then he'd turn it over. He'd be insanely slow or it'd be bad. And we'd be, God, Mark Stahl, what are you doing? But I don't think we ever blamed Mark Stahl for the team being bad. We kind of went into it knowing that Mark Stahl wasn't going to be good. And we're pleasantly surprised that Mark Stahl's actually been good.
I don't know if I'd say not been, he wasn't going to be good. I don't think we expected that bad out the start.
They threw him away, Ryan. They gave us a second round pick to take him.
It's because he had a contract.
Sure. All people who play in the NHL have contracts.
Okay, a large contract for his age and where he was at in his career.
Sure.
You know what I meant.
They did it because he worked on a sod farm. They needed sod for Comerica, so they brought him in for the hometown discount.
That was one of the best Mickey Redmond talking about the sod farm.
Thunder Bay.
Oh, Jesus. But yeah, and then that was funny because they were doing like the Jordan Stahl like tribute thing. And there was like a painting of Jordan Stahl and then the two other Stahl, but Mark Stahl wasn't in the painting. Like they just forgot about him and left him out. But it was, they bring up all the Stahls and they're like, and then when Mark Stahl and Jordan Stahl played, The other Stahl brother couldn't be there. So it was just that they don't like each other, I think. I think it's a secret family feud between all the Stahls. But I constantly deal with this. It was Anthony Mantha until Anthony Mantha got traded. And now it's back to Jeff Blashill again. Even though, like we talked about on the last podcast, Jeff Blashill, I think there's a very good chance of him being signed for at least another year. Because of what has happened in the last half of the season. Just when Yzerman gave him good players, or at least decent players, they're performing well. And I think they're performing above expectation of a bottom five team. So you can hate on Jeff Blashill all you want. And I will still tell you that Jeff Blashill makes dumb decisions sometimes, and that he lets Dan Bylsma have way too long of a leash with special teams. But I can't fault him for much this season. And I will say that right now he is the scapegoat of the team, though it was Anthony Mantha. Darren Helm's Darren Helm. I mean, he's you can't.
It's hard to be mad.
If you expect anything from him, that's on you. I'm sorry.
it's true. You should always be pleasantly surprised whenever he does something good.
Sure. But I would say at the beginning of the season up until his trade, it was Anthony Mantha. But I put it all back on Blashill as a scapegoat.
Yeah.
If I'd put Justin Abdelkader on there, you still would have voted for him, even though
you're goddamn wasn't right.
Franz Nielsen, even though he hasn't played half the season.
I think that this one, having Blashill on here, almost is a giveaway of an award. Because Mantha, he was the scapegoat for a lot of people, but I think it was on the individual effort rather than the team effort. I think that's where it's going to kind of change the award, in my opinion, of this, of course. So I went with Blashill.
Sarah, do you ever think of actually mailing players their award?
I don't want like a restraining order.
They'd get it in the mail. They'd be like, what's this? And then they'd have to go online to figure it out.
We should just do it for team MVP and have all the podcasts like sponsor some like tiny Metro Detroit award store and get a trophy and have it sent to the Red Wings.
Like kids trophies.
Believe it or not, those crystal awards you can win for your like company are not expensive. You can get them for totally like $40.
How do they know? How does she know my address?
No, you send it
to LCA.
You attention there player go. Name at Little Caesars Arena. So we move on to the Sunshine Award, which is the player with the nicest smile. Tyler Bertuzzi in the. I want to order one of those masks. Can you order those? The Tyler Bertuzzi.
You gotta be mask. Able to.
Because I need one in my life.
It was like one of the first pictures that came up when I was Googling like Tyler Bertuzzi.
Amazing.
Smile. And I was like, oh, I have to use this picture.
You've got Luke Glendening with the missing tooth, Giovanni Smith with the missing tooth, Evgeny Svechnikov with the missing tooth. And then you have Verana and Zadina. And I voted for Verana based solely off of that picture.
I don't even remember what picture I put up to. Let's go look.
I think it was some kind of Capitals awards or something. It looks like.
Oh, yeah. He's some inferior.
Definitely not these awards. These ones have a backdrop. They spent too much money.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't smiling in any of the Red Wings pictures. But he'd be like blurry or like he'd have the helmet on. Cause I was like, no one has the helmet on. So I had to do that. And then Zadina, I had to like, there wasn't anything really with him like face on smiling. And I was like, it's the dimple though. That's what people want to see.
Yeah.
So let me do a side shot to get the little dimple.
You got his good side.
You got his good side.
Ryan, what'd you pick?
I think I went, who did I go with? I think I went with Svetch. It's such an innocent little smile.
I love that the Giovanni Smith picture has football underneath it.
San Fran and KC. Where did that? How did that come up?
So it was like they did like a Super Bowl like poll with the players.
Oh,
it was like, who do you think is
going to win?
Yeah, like who remembers the Super Bowl? No one. But I couldn't find a better picture of him smiling. And this was such a good one. He was so happy. So, and again, I didn't want ones with helmets, and it's hard to find non-helmets. I also didn't realize how they were all missing teeth until I was looking them up. I was like, oh, wow. We really do have a lot of toothless players.
Yeah. I think Zadina and Varana are the only ones with all their teeth still.
Yeah. That's why they're so happy.
Fun fact about the Bertuzzi mask. It was a charity fundraiser event last year for COVID. It was $70 per mask.
Oh, that's out of my mask budget.
Yeah. So it's for CanadaHelps.org. That's the only place I've been able to actually find it.
Well, that's depressing.
So it was actually a fundraiser.
Well, so what I'm going to do with it now is run through the rest of the awards, and then we're going to actually get Sarah's outlook on the season and kind of outlook on next before we wrap up tonight, because we got like 20 minutes left, something like that. So the rest of the awards are the Winging at Motown Hope Is Not a Strategy Award for most devastating game of the season. It's most of them. You could have had a drop down list for this
one. I know. I was like, how many games did we lose like 7-1 or 7-2? And I was like, oh, it's a lot.
Oh, that many.
Yeah. <it's->
Wing Wheel Podcast, the Hold My Ginger Ale Award for the most random event of the season. That one I went and honk the horn because it's a reoccurring theme now.
That was too good.
Our award, which is the Grindline Podcast's Thomas Nosek Memorial Award for the player most likely to be released to Seattle. The list is rather long, and I think right now it is between Panic and Lindstrom. That's between those two, I believe. Svech, the way he's played recently, I don't see a team wanting to take a flyer on him. So
that's kind of kind of a heart versus head award.
Yeah.
For people, I think.
Yep. The Detroit Jack City's Stone Hands Award for most snake bit player. Darren Helm's not snake bit. He's just not good. The Six Seasons in a Movie Award for Best Player Bromance. That's always one of my favorite awards. And this year, I think Zadina and Verana get it for the Checkmates. The Locked on Red Wings Podcast New in Town Award for Best First Year Red Wing. The Spare Parts Award for the guy who is just kind of there but deserves nice things. So I think that goes back to the Invisible Award, and maybe it's Alex Biega again. Sam Gagne got a hat trick.
I thought it was funny that Biega was nominated for both. It's like, he's forgettable, but once you remember him, you're like, oh, he deserves something nice.
Look at him. He's still a Red Wing. And then the 2021 Red Wings MVP. And that one, I think, from who was nominated, it is going to be Bernier. I don't think there's any contest there. I'd be surprised if that one was anywhere near close. But I would say that. But that is that's the 2020-21 Red Wings Awards. Sarah, you put a ton of work into this for not getting paid to do it. So we want to thank you for doing that. And it's a lot of fun. And again, we've tweeted it out once. We'll tweet it out a couple more times. We'll get the other people on the Hockey Podcast Network to tweet it out simply to get the votes in. Mm-hmm. Because we know there's more votes out there, and I think to get a variance of opinion is probably better.
And like I said, there are awards that are close, and I'm not lying, so everybody should vote.
It's you also keep pinned. Saying that.
Well, I have to drive the message home.
So I'm not lying, I swear.
I'm not lying. Well, because 2 years ago I said I wasn't lying, and I was. So I feel like I need to...
Wait, how did we know you were lying?
Because I said so. I said the best goal pick was mine. I said right after
never,
I did pick.
Never tip your hand. That's the rule.
I'm very honest. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry, though. in any case, it's also pinned on my Twitter, Helmeroids, and the awards will be presented by me on Twitter on May 15th. 7:00 Eastern, and you can look them up after that whenever you want, but it's more fun to hang out with me live and complain or yell or be excited. And
we live tweet it also along with her. We do retweets and reactions, and it's a lot of fun to do. Well, the Red Wings are probably going to be working on their draft by then. So, but I kind of wanted, since you are also a contributor for Wing at Motown and the co-host of a podcast currently, which I think they need to change their header because the little hockey guys have a P for Pete and a J for J, but since it's you, it needs to be an S. But I kind of wanted to get your feeling on the season, where you are at coming into the season, and then kind of how you progressed throughout up until now, which the season's over in two more games. How you kind of feel the season went, maybe some surprises and your feelings going into next season.
Yeah. So going into the season, you know, I think my primary focus was just like, should we be doing this at all? And like, not because the Wings are bad, but because of COVID.
And oh, no. Just should the Red Wings just fold? Like, is it even worth it?
You know, is it, you know, is everyone going to be okay? What happens if they're not? So as the season went on and, you know, at least for the Wings, players were staying mostly okay. And anyone who had COVID was able to come back. It started to feel a little better, but then I still felt a little guilty, like enjoying it and being like, should I be enjoying it when they're getting sick and we don't know the long term outcomes? But then I just wanted there to be hockey. And so for whatever it's worth, guilty or not, I was like, I'm kind of having fun now. And the losses didn't hurt as much as the last 2 years, even if they were like actually worse. They didn't feel as bad, I think, just because it was hockey. There was something to hold on to, something kind of normal, even if normal was losing by 6 goals.
And, something that lets you disconnect your brain for a few hours.
Yeah, it was like, okay, there is something consistent from pre-pandemic, and we're all together on Twitter complaining about it. So it just feels good. Even if it's bad, it's still better to complain about something than to not have it at all. Yep. So I would rather be miserable and angry and annoyed than be missing it. So negative feelings are better than none. And as you know, it seemed like to me the team was better. And I don't know, again, if that's just because I was excited that there was hockey. So the losses were like, it's story time with Ken and Mick. This is fun. Like, they don't even bother calling the games.
Anymore. No, they're they don't.
Let's talk about the game at the prison. I'm like, oh, we must be losing by 5 goals.
And there's a goal and they just keep going. they just don't call the goal.
Yeah. It was kind of fun that way. And I felt like the broadcasts were more fun because they didn't have to travel. So Mickey was always there.
And always in flannel.
Always there, always in flannel, always in good spirits, always just seeming like he was about to say something maybe not great about COVID. Like Ken Daniels has his hand like on the plug.
Right? Like, a mute he's button.
Got the engineers like ready to hit mute, but he didn't cross the line. He always like reeled himself back in. So that made it extra fun, I think. And something I hope that they'll take through is this kind of mini series setup. You know, once we're kind of able to play all the teams again, still have, you know, 2 games against the same team. I think that worked that really fun. Well. And, you know, as we're recording, there's a certain game going on between the Capitals and the Rangers that we see the Grudge immediately boiled over. There was no time for any, there was no cooling off period.
No.
It's actually a recording of Slapshot 3.
Yeah. And I think we had talked about that before the season, is something that maybe could carry over, are these mini series where you do build up kind of a rivalry and you do build up maybe something happened in the previous game and you immediately get a chance to answer it instead of having to wait 2 weeks. I agree.
For a team like us who doesn't really, you know, we're not really good enough to have like a rival.
No, I mean, not at all.
We hate Tampa, but and they hate us, but it's not really a rivalry because they should be embarrassed.
Yeah.
But
no, Tampa's, you know, more not the big kid holding the little kid's head and the little kid's flailing his arms.
Yeah. Occasionally gets a good elbow in. Yes. So
still hate Chicago that helps, with all my yeah, life.
Yeah. That helps teams that kind of got me this season. It's like, I was expecting to beat up on them this season. I was not expecting to beat the Canes or the Bolts.
No.
Or really anyone except Chicago and maybe Columbus. So that was kind of the other thing. I was like, is it worth beating a good team and lording it over them versus beating a bad team that you hate? Like, I would have liked to have a little bit of both, but it was still fun. And I really think that series set up helped and made it more fun and easier to follow. And, you know, sometimes, you know, if I'm doing like writing the recap for Winging It Motown, and anyone who's ever read one knows that I just type stream of consciousness, like whatever's happening, I'm just typing it. So, you know, sometimes it gets exhausting if you lose 7-1, or there were a couple of really boring games, and that was almost worse.
Yeah.
Like, how you should, if you're, I don't know, I think I'd rather you just be terrible than boring, because if you're terrible, at least Ken and Mick are going to start talking about sod farms and prison games and players from 40 years ago. So don't leave me in this middle ground.
I think there was one game where there was like a player from like 1943, and Ken's like, yeah, Mick, do you remember him? Like, it was 1943. Like, I don't think Mick remembers him. And then Mick's like, ah, yeah, that guy. I'm like, are you serious? He remembers the guy from 1943.
But he doesn't remember the players currently on the team.
But yeah, I think your assessment is right. And you said that you feel like they were better, and they have been better. I mean, their defense has improved tenfold. I mean, it couldn't really be worse than it was last season, but it's improved a bit. And then the latter half of the season, the offense improved, where we were getting goals from guys like Ernie. We brought in someone like Verana who came in hot and started scoring. We're getting better play from guys like Michael Rasmussen, and we got good play from guys like Stahl. So the team is better, and it's evident, and we've won more games than we did all of last season now. So the team is better. It makes it more fun to watch, and it shows that going forward, I think there's promise. But I kind of wanted to get your outlook on what you're looking for next season.
Well, I think one thing that we're all looking for is Cider.
And, oh my God.
How his game's gonna translate. Like, if he does anything wrong, everyone's going to be devastated. You know, that's almost going to work against him, is how high our expectations are and our desperation for a good defenseman. Please,
just one.
For nothing, like, Bernier will pay for his plane ticket. Like, get him over here. You know, because right now he's throwing, you know, adults around like they're little. Like they're nothing. I was like, oh, and did a mosquito land on me? And he laughs about it and he thinks it's hilarious. So, you know, I want that like reverse checking energy of, you know, someone.
And he's only going to be bigger.
He's only going to get bigger. Yeah. He's still a growing lad. So hoping that it translates well. And you know, there'll be growing pains, or always are. And if he needs more development time, then we'll know and be like, okay, he's not quite keeping up. We'll see how he does in Grand Rapids, bring him back up, do the whole, well, I guess it won't be a taxi squad, but you know, up and down thing, or hopefully up the whole time, whether it's because he's so great or because the rest of the defense is so terrible.
That's a good chance of that.
Or Jeff Blashill will do what Jeff Blashill does and like, be like, oh, it's your birthday, on the bench. Oh, your parents are here, on the bench.
Your grandma died, on the bench.
Be like, just crush his spirit. Give him the old Chulosky treatment. But that'll be something. But I think kind of in general next year, it's, you know, it's showing we're trimming off, you know, dead weight. I hate to say that, but like
money.
You know, money, and Steven Weiss will be off the books.
Steven who?
old glass bones. He'll be off. And, you know, so we're stocking up money. We're stocking up prospects and, you know, not signing these horrible contracts. So it's, you know, it's encouraging to see that we're moving in the right direction. Iserman knows what he's doing, even if on trade deadline day, everyone was bitching for the whole time. And then he's like, and hit the Mantha button, idiots. And it's like, oh,
haha, I fooled you again.
Surprise, duck bags.
Like, I was waiting for this to be like a 3 a.m. trade. You can't just trade in the middle of the day. Like,
yeah, that's normal. Stop it, Stevie. What happened to you?
Someone probably woke him up, be like, hey, Steve, it's deadline.
It's deadline. Oh, shit. I got to do something.
Yeah. Oh, that's well, today. Like,
they're always like, I woke up from a nap and did this. Or like, I woke up from a nap and Mantha had texted me. I woke up from a nap and I missed a call from Steve.
It's like, how many naps do you take? Jesus Christ.
Look at him. Every interview, it looks like he just woke up. He's in his office. He's got some type of raggedy Red Wings sweatshirt on that he's probably had for 20 years.
He's like, God, really, these people want to talk to me again.
That's been a really great thing about this season, though, is seeing this like human side of Iserman.
The normal side.
Like, I was seeing like old tweets when he was in Tampa, and I was like, I bet Iserman has never relaxed in 5 years. I bet he wears a suit to bed. And now it's like, he wouldn't be caught dead in a suit.
Yeah, all he does is relax.
Yeah. He's got hoodies. He's like talking about it. Like, oh yeah, I had it on mute and my camera off because I was doing yoga during like the draft. It's like he's really funny and he's human, and you know that's fun to see. To see his, you know, to me it was always like kind of a Bond villain, and I'm like, oh no, he's just like a dad. He's got like dad energy.
That's in control of the Red Wings' future. It's great to know. It's just, but Ryan, I have the new trademark, and you'll hear it first, and I can date this episode. Fresh pressed cider.
Ooh.
Whenever he gets someone real good, that or cold pressed cider, but I thought fresh pressed cider was good.
I just need cider and juice on the same line.
Exactly. Do you want your cider or do you want your juice? That's
I hope you get some t-shirts in the pipeline with that.
I do. I have ideas. It's time. That's the thing I don't have. The t-shirts are not a 10-minute Photoshop. They're a little bit more involved than that. But yeah. So yeah, I agree, Sarah. Going forward, there's hope. The draft. Are you coming in for game one next year? Do you hope to? Any plans?
No plans, but I hope to. I certainly have vacation time saved up because where have I been? Nowhere. So yeah, I'm hoping to get in for game one. If not, then definitely sometime next season. You know, if Winging It Motown has a meetup and that just turns into like an everybody meetup. But the last home opener that I was allowed to go to was super fun.
That was fantastic.
It was a great time.
We'll have something just as good. Next season.
Yeah, it was. I have $370 in StubHub credit since I couldn't go to the last game of the season that I had tickets for. So I have a ton of StubHub credit where I will be getting very good seats to the home opener in October. So
on the blue line.
Yeah, I did center ice like two rows up. That'll be my seats. So, it'll be good.
Oh, no, I mean playing. I mean, you're going to be playing.
Oh.
Defenseman. You're just as good as Mark Stahl.
Oh, no, we didn't sign a goalie. Guess I'll be in net. But I think that's where we're going to end it tonight, because everyone's time is valuable and it's 9:45 at night. And generally, I'm almost asleep by now because of a newborn.
We're all senior citizens.
It's the same. Yeah, it's already bedtime.
Honestly, it's a much better life. So I want to thank you, Sarah, for coming on and being a guest with us tonight. Everyone, please go vote in the 8th Annual Detroit Red Wings Awards. Go listen to the For Sure podcast on the Winging It in Motown podcast network. Again, go follow Sarah at Helmeroids, HELMERROIDS on Twitter. Sarah, thank you for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me and helping me with the awards and sponsoring one. It'll be a great looking award.
It'll be, if nothing, it'll look fantastic. And then Ryan, thanks, I guess, for coming on. Whatever.
Yeah, no problem. You know, do what I can.
But that's going to do it for us tonight. As always, you can find us on Twitter at GrindlinePod. If you go to howieshockeytape.com and use promo code GRINDLINE at checkout, you get 10% off your order. If you use that same promo code at Bring Hockey Back, you get 12% off. We like to give a shout out to Founders, who's the official beer of the GrindLine podcast. And you can check out our merch merch at redbubble.com by searching The Grind Line. You'll find our shop there with a bunch of t-shirts, mugs, and other stuff. We also like to give a shout out to the Hockey Podcast Network. If you follow them at HockeyPodNet, you will find a bunch of sweet podcasts from not only the Detroit Red Wings, but other teams around the league. But that's going to do it for us tonight. So for Greg and Ryan, you stay classy, Hockey Town.